This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
On the day of his 41st birthday, Christopher John Curtis arrives to set the stage for Super Bowl 59 and Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon, folks. I'm at a turf convention.
You wouldn't miss this one.
We were talking
about... Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Ken. Love you. Ken and I were just going over the details of... Because the first thing I said to Ken was, where's breakfast? And then the second thing was, what a dud of a buildup for Super Bowl 59. Like, nobody said anything. There was nothing noteworthy. I can't think of a single storyline outside of the refs, which the NFL, you know, bent over backwards to poo-poo, and there's not much meat there because you can't really attack a singular person. It's just the belief that the Chiefs were benefited in some way. And what it does remind me of the years where, like, the Super Bowl 52, I would say by far and away the craziest week we ever had in the morning at a Super Bowl. It was right after the Reamer fiasco. There was the
Minneapolis
fight,
Super Bowl.
There was the fight with the Houston radio show host with somebody else, Josh Innes. And it was just a wild, wild week. But that week, it was like the Eagles were an afterthought. It was all about Brady, Bill, Tom versus Time. How much longer is he going to do this? And
I remember asking, I was given the permission to ask Brady a question that week. Only because it was a take of mine that I thought it was the most meaningless Super Bowl Brady had ever played in.
Oh, I remember that.
Because, I mean, he'd already done everything. At that point, he had won five. So if he loses, what's the big deal? And obviously, he took a little bit of offense to that. But, like, you know, every Super Bowl is important. But they lose the game.
And then he hung up. You asked the last question.
All right. There, I jinxed him. So right. He would have had eight, if not for me. But the Eagles, you got to respect, I guess, based on that. They have a way of just Nick Folesing their way to a championship. And actually, a lot of people are picking Philly, more so than I predicted.
So last night, before I fell asleep, I noted it's even. It's now a pick 'em.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So from two...
I thought it was even... Yesterday was a point and a half, I thought.
It's... I mean, let me just confirm. I don't want to give...
Talk about the sharp money coming in.
You can't bet on college here. let's see...
We should really have Shime for this.
Oof. Well, nobody's ever said that.
Shime is coming up, by the way, 1-3 today.
It's KC minus one. I swear it was pick'em yesterday.
Yeah, I did not see a pick'em. I think that might be false information. Not the question you on your birthday. I've got to be nice to you today. But either way, many people, Tommy Curran prominently this week, among others, here on our station, picking the Eagles to win and some going away. I think Curran even said Thursday, blowout. Blow the doors off this team. Much better roster, offense, defense. the clear Kansas City advantage is sideline.
Well, I think Tom Curran said Philly needed to make it too big to rig.
Yeah, it could be rigged. There could be refs involved, and obviously the Mahomes factor. But this is not like, this is obviously if Mahomes wins, and I think this is the biggest local story. If Mahomes gets it done, because of this perception, this is clearly the best team they would have beaten at a Super Bowl. It would be another big feather in his cap. Obviously, the three-peat, people have talked about that ad nauseum. But this is a big one for his legacy. It's becoming, oh, they're almost, as you say, a pick-em, a little bit of a slight underdog in some people's mind. He would will his way to another one when teams like the Celtics are struggling to repeat even for a back-to-back.
Yeah, I think this would obviously be, you know, massive. Three straight is unbelievable, no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. It's also just been interesting that the corollary in how Brady was discussed in the Patriots, where you had, like, fall off a cliff. If you look at Mahomes' regular seasons the last 2 years, pedestrian, not even in the top 10 in many statistical categories.
Does not this year have a 1,000-yard rusher or receiver, right?
Right. And so, like, this would remind me a lot of the 06 Patriots, where they came up short in the second half against the Colts. It would be, if he wins this one, it's can he get to 7, and it's a legitimate conversation. But I will continue to stipulate that what Brady did that was otherworldly was win 10 playoff games after 40, win 3 Super Bowls after turning 40, being in that where we saw Aaron Rodgers this year, who looked like a absolutely looked like, you know, Greg at 4 a.m.
Well, yeah, but this is why you hoodwinked me this week with this LeBron James take, which maybe we'll get to later. But you think what LeBron is doing post 40 is more impressive than all this you just laid out?
Oh, of course.
For Brady.
Athletically, not like not in terms of, you know, what
achievement.
He, right. The physical prerequisite to do what LeBron James is doing.
Even with the TB12 method.
Oh my
God. And the Alex
I don't
Guerrero,
even know how,
stretchability.
I don't know how you could possibly argue that. He's on the floor for 40 minutes running back and forth.
I guess, but he just turned 40. I mean, Brady was doing it at 46, right? When he won with the Bucks when they beat
45.
45 when they beat this Chiefs team.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brady, can we play this clip from Tom off the bat? Maybe we'll play resuscitate the off the bat here. So Brady this week, and obviously he's part of the local tie because he's calling the game. And he's given access this week, so the Chiefs must be rattled that the Raiders are getting in inside their brain and all their plans for the upcoming years. But this from Brady, did you find this to be authentic Brady, or is he just capping, as we even say?
I'm broadcasting the game, so I don't really have a rooting interest per se. The only thing I root for in these situations are great games. I will say, if the Chiefs win, I will be very happy for them. I mean, what they've achieved is unmatched, and I think that's cool because people always hated on us for so many years, and I didn't understand it because all I did was like, we try to do things the right way. We try to go out there and compete for our job and win. And like, there's an excellence that I appreciate about people who are doing other things at really high levels because you understand the commitment that it takes for them to do what they're doing.
Yeah, okay. He's not
sincere?
Rooting for the Chiefs. No.
If the Chiefs win, I'll be happy for them. I appreciate their excellence.
Yeah,
that's a lie.
So. Happy is, I think, he means respect. And, you know, there is an interesting way that what we've agreed that Jimmy Garoppolo was for Tom Brady, that he provided this fire that rekindled the greatness for another dynastic period.
Right. One of more you, Belichick genius at work.
You could maybe make the argument that Tom Brady's final chapter was the Jimmy G to Mahomes in that, like, that Super Bowl loss was cited by Mahomes this week as the one game that he wished he had back. And that really is the game changer. It's a two Super Bowl swing, right?
With the AFC title game loss?
No. The Super Bowl with the Bucs against the Chiefs.
Oh, I got you.
31-9. Mm-hmm. And in that game, you now, if that game went the other way, then this is a Super Bowl to even Tom Brady at 5. I'm sorry, at 6. So he'd be one away. But so Brady would have 6, Mahomes would have 4 going for 5. And what that rivalry is, and I understand the rage of Patriots fans that sit back and are confounded at the national media's desire to coronate a team when they did everything they could to dispel any notion of the Patriots being an all-time great. But it's the biggest compliment. The Patriots will live on. This is the positive of a – it's the same thing, but it's 180 degrees in the positive direction, where the Yankees, every time a baseball team's down 3-0, they're going to cite the 0-4 Yankees gag job, right? Now, in the opposite of that, whenever a team is vying for perfection or vying for excellence, they will cite the Patriots.
The Patriots are the standard.
And so that is a – you can't get a bigger compliment than that. And we can get to it later, but the soundbite of the week for me was Belichick and saying it was a it's actually the GHS Daily. It's a quote where he talks about the Giants and compared the 07 Giants to this season's Eagles team, where they had nothing to lose. All they were talked about the entire week was about the history about to be made by the Patriots. The Eagles have all heard all week, outside of their mayor's misspelling, that the Chiefs are on the doorstep of a three-peat.
I guess, but that team was a 14-point underdog, if I'm not mistaken. This team is, as you said, almost a pick 'em. So that's not really a good comp. I don't like that clip by Bill, actually. Do you find that to be accurate?
I do.
This Eagles team has the perception of the Giants to go up against the perfect Patriots?
Well, let's hear it. It's a quick cut.
All right.
Philadelphia has a chance to do what the Giants did to us and, you know, wreck their three-peat or, you know, wreck our undefeated season or whatever it is. And it's a great opportunity for them.
I mean, that was a Buster Douglas moment for the sports world outside of New England. That was, like, unheard of. Nobody picked the Giants. Lots of people were picking the Eagles. I don't know. I guess I get what he's saying.
So
you're breaking up the three-peat.
If you're Nick Sirianni and you're giving a pregame speech and you talk about, it doesn't take much time to pull all the quotes out about what happens when they win. Mm-hmm. It's not if. You know, many of these prognosticators are discussing the fait accompli of the three-peat. Oh, Pat Riley's going to get $20 million and whatever else.
You got to love Riles. He's a genius.
Oh, God. I feel like if I was alive in the 80s, I would have a very unhealthy hatred of Pat Riley.
No, I'm sure you would.
But you
would love the NBA back then. No threes.
I sit back and I watch, unlike people with the NBA, and I think back to those years, because I don't know if we're ever going back to a Super Bowl. And I really think we were all able to, in the moment, accept that this was not forever. Like, the reason that what the national media gave Patriots fans was the gift of being present, because they were constantly telling you it was about to end. Whether it was Trent Dilfer in 2014 in Kansas City, ironically, or if it was post-Deflategate, fall off a cliff, or it was Tom versus Time, Bill and Tom are done. And then it was Tom had to go to the Bucks, and then he wins. Like, the of all the Mahomes, you know, standards that he's facing, winning every other Super Bowl from the age of 38 to 45 is something that will never be replicated. Mm-hmm. And Shaughnessy had a great column this week talking about how the Chiefs are no threat. You know, talking about the legitimate – what the Chiefs are doing now is unbelievable. Three-peats never happened. Would have if Butler played, but we can get to that later. What they're pursuing and what they're accomplishing is something that has been done before, which is winning four in a 6-7 year span.
They would tie the Patriots' 10 straight playoff win streak from 01 to 05 with a win tomorrow, right? So they have 9 straight playoff wins going back to 2022. So they would equal that. You find that to be significant. It's kind of – it is dynastic comparison. It puts them on par with the early Patriots teams. Although, listening to Ted Johnson this week reminisce and reflect on the 04 title win, you know, beating McNabb and him throwing up in the huddle and all that, that Patriots team was so good. And as he said, Brady was just becoming Brady. He was finally fully coming into his own. This kind of feels the opposite, doesn't it? That even though Mahomes is 29, as you said, he's hanging on. They lost Tyreek Hill. They have lost some weapons around him otherwise. It's not as good of a Chiefs team as it was a couple years ago. Kelsey's not the same as he was.
No, and the Chiefs are kind of like an NBA team in the NFL right now. I have to say, I heard Sean Payton on with Portnoy, some Barstool show from New Orleans, mm-hmm. and he told a story of when he was with the Saints and they were struggling. They were 1-3 after a bye, and he was like, Andy, how are you doing this? Like, what are you? And he was with the Eagles at the time. And he said, when we win, I give them days off. I give them a week off. I gain their respect and their trust by rewarding positive play, not by meeting positivity with negativity. And I just feel like, not all the time, but Andy Reid better read the modern athlete from a younger time than Belichick did. Mm. And, you know, Greg's always like, you know, we heard Christian Gonzalez say that it was lighter. How'd that work out for you? Well, you had the same number of wins in the last two seasons. And clearly, I mean, Belichick, we could talk about on the field, off the field. It's pretty close who's had the weirder post-playing career. Those two. That outfit, the hair, the 8 rings.
Like, it looked, did he get like, the eyebrows dyed?
It looked like somebody like let him out of the insane asylum.
He's living his best life.
Like, was there a Depends check?
Oh, jeez.
Like, did you see him? It looked like my grandfather when he didn't think I was coming by and he was stumbling up from a nap.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. There were some plenty of Patriots, former Patriots ties this week during Super Bowl week, I guess. That was one of them. Give us your perspective on the Chiefs going for the three-peat. 617-779-7937. How invested in this game are you? How, I don't know, what, hatred, your hatred level? I don't know if we want to get into that. But just, I guess, in terms of the what you expect tomorrow.
What are you hoping to happen? What are you watching the game for? Yeah. You know, I for me,
are
it's
you
always
rooting for the Eagles?
It's always the commercials.
You got to be rooting for the Eagles, I would think, at this point. Even I have pulled myself that way.
Can I confess, I never watch the halftime show. I have zero desire.
Morning after Shakira, you were all about it.
I was actually in McLean, but good memory. I legitimately, like, I don't care. I don't care what song Kendrick Lamar plays. I am...
Well, he's probably not your guy, Kendrick
But, like,
Lamar.
When it was Lady Gaga or it was, you know, Paul McCartney, I don't
care. What are
care.
You doing during that time? Oh,
making
socializing.
Something. Making I'm making something. Some food. You know, maybe, you know, James needs to change my diaper. I don't know.
Jeez. Double Depends reference. All right. 617-779-7937. We'll get your Super Bowl thoughts. Here until 11. Bradfo's got Craig Breslow joining him today for the Baseball Isn't Boring show. And then Shime and Mego are at Timeout Market from 1 to 3 for the Tom Brady lookalike contest.
Love it.
So you might get there. A birthday gift for you.
I can't wait.
From James.
I can't believe it's actually on my birthday.
Join us for the spectacular today, and here's Zach Coe with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins welcome Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights to TD Garden this afternoon in their final game before the two-week layoff for the Four Nations faceoff. Jeremy Swayman expected to be in net for the Bees. Puck drop set for 3:30 from the Garden. Celtics also in action tonight as they head to MSG to take on the New York Knicks. Celtics have already ruled out guard Drew Holiday. He will miss his second straight game with a right shoulder impingement. Tip-off from MSG set for 8:30. Final preparations underway for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans tomorrow night. Eagles DN Brandon Graham, the only notable name on either injury report, he's listed as questionable. Don't forget you can hear Westwood One's coverage of the Super Bowl right here on WEEI with coverage starting at 2 p.m. with kickoff between the Chiefs and Eagles at 6:30. Busy day of college hoops as we're a little over a month away from Selection Sunday. Notable matchups include top-ranked Auburn hosting number 6 Florida, number 10 Texas A&M heading to number 15 Mizzou, and the number 13 Red Raiders of Texas Tech are in Arizona taking on the 20th-ranked Wildcats. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Well, a little Kendrick Lamar for Curtis, since he'll miss the halftime show. Get you a little sample of it here this morning, Curtis. On your Ken and Curtis show, your birthday edition. Happy birthday to CJC, 41 years young today. You and I have known each other about 9 of those years. You were at the Houston Super Bowl. You were reminiscing with me before we came on today. That was, of course, the Atlanta comeback. I missed because Maya was born about 8 years ago today.
Right. Oh, I'll never forget my dread when I realized I was with Jet on the Monday morning after the most...
Jet Stryer, fabulous producer.
Unbelievable game.
Good man.
Oh, my God. That was... Of all the things I've ever seen, to have 2 championships back-to-back, one with the Butler pick, which is the singular most... life-changing, dynasty-changing, fan-base-changing moment of my life. And then the 28-3, and even then, like, when you rewatch that, and I have thousands of times, the amount of things that had to go perfectly right while going simultaneously perfectly wrong, when you had that catch, both Super Bowl 49 and 51 had... wild catches. One was one of the most amazing skill catch you'll ever see in Julio Jones down the right sideline. It was perfect coverage. Matt Ryan with a perfect throw, and it was the greatest forgotten catch in NFL history. You're at the 30 effing yard line, or the 25. You were inside the 30. And you're up 8 with 3.5 minutes to go. All you need to do is take a knee, kick a field goal, and you are Super Bowl champions. The first play, they lose 2 yards running the ball. Then, idiot Dan Quinn, Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan, I don't know who to blame most.
Can't blame Matt Ryan. He's a BC guy.
Drops back to pass. Can't find anybody. Takes a sack, 7-8 yard loss. Then, instead of just running the ball into field goal range, drop back to pass, holding. Then incomplete pass, then the Patriots get the ball with 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left at their own, whatever, 6 yard line. And the second they punted it, everybody knew they were going to tie the game, which is the most amazing compliment you can ever give an athlete. And that is that with the ball and an opportunity, just same thing with the coin toss in Kansas City. Everybody knew the game was over. They were just going to go. You don't know how. You didn't know what it would look like. And those games back to back were just. Mahomes has a long way to go to get to those moments.
By the way, last night on SportsCenter, the Edelman catch was fourth on their top 10 end of SportsCenter reel Super Bowl plays of all time. Disrespect.
I don't think
it's not higher. It needs a catchier name. What is the name of it?
But that catch, it's
just the Edelman circus catch or something like that.
But I think it was first and 10. Like, it wasn't like it was a big conversion, and it was on the Patriots side of the field. I think it took them to like the 40 or the 50. I don't know the exact yard.
All right, so you're fine with it. It's placed there. Helmet catch was one.
There is no bigger play in terms of the.
Well, Malcolm Butler's goal line interception was
two. Well, one prevented a perfect season, the other prevented a dynasty. Obviously, I go Tyree, unfortunately.
Ooh, wow. What an honest admission from you.
Oh, that was I would actually put the Asante drop up there.
All right, would you like to start with Johnny Kicks for Super Bowl perspective and thoughts this morning? We do love Johnny Kicks in Saugus. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good. Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
Listen, you guys are going to hate me, but I really don't care about the Super Bowl.
Really?
I hope the Eagles trounce them.
Well, then you do care.
Why is Luka Doncic not in the All-Star game?
What?
That's my question. You can get to it later. You don't have to get to it now. I'll be listening all day. God love you, and what's up, Rocco?
Okay, wow. There you go. So there's somebody. Let's just stick with I don't care about the game. Is that true? Are Pats fans being honest if they don't care?
I
guess so.
It's just
you're going to wake up Monday.
No. You're not being honest if you say you don't care. If you're calling a radio station, you care. With all due respect, Johnny Cakes.
Well, they wanted that Luka taken. Why isn't he an All-Star?
I couldn't. I care more about what you're eating for breakfast tomorrow than I do about.
Could be a conspiracy. Is he diving into something deeper?
Maybe. I don't know. Either way, I would say every single person before this game will be able to try and convince themselves that they don't care. They're not emotionally invested. And the second there is a weak holding call or a PI call or a roughing the passer call, you're going to be screaming at your TV.
6:30 kickoff when Brady says, if the Chiefs win, I'm happy for them. I appreciate their excellence. Now you're into the game. To me, that's like...
What else would he say?
It's Tom's... What else would he say? Don't say I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
He didn't say that.
I'm happy for them.
The cut begins with, I'm broadcasting the game. I can't root.
Mahomes is coming after his GOAT status.
Ken, stop.
He's
deranged.
Lying. Say that. It's just false.
You are deranged.
I'm deranged.
Yes. Tom Brady is being paid $38 million to call this game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why Herb Street on game day doesn't give a pick in the game that he's broadcasting?
I think he is now. I think he's been kind of pressured.
Okay, why didn't he do it?
He's afraid.
Why?
Fear.
Because of people thinking he's giving preferential treatment to the team he's supporting financially.
Right.
So,
that's gone. That's the thing of the past.
Tell me the last time a national broadcaster told you he was rooting against a team.
Greg Olson.
He's never happened.
Best in the business.
Right? So it's never happened.
I don't know.
Ken, you've watched every Super Bowl in your lifetime. Has a guy ever said, I'm rooting against this team? Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world.
This is a unique situation. You have a guy in the broadcast booth who the quarterback on the field is literally coming for.
How many Super Bowls?
Would anybody be upset at Tom if he said, you know what? I'm really rooting for the Chiefs to lose. I don't want Patrick to catch my
records. You in America would be ripping him to shreds.
Praise him for that. My God, it would be so honest.
This is the dumbest on my birthday. The dumbest thing.
That's
literally never happened.
I don't know what triggers you. I don't know what to avoid.
Do you know what Tommy Heinsohn, when he did national games, was actually anti-Celtics?
He was?
Yes.
When was
because
that?
When he was doing, I think it was NBA and NBC. Like, it's, you cannot give that impression. If anything, he'll go to, Tom is so worried about being perceived to be bitter that he will go the other direction.
Well, that is a worry then. Isn't that a worry? He's going to be too Chiefs friendly.
I'm not worried about it at all. It doesn't concern me in the slightest.
Okay, well, my whole point was, before you get so upset, when you hear Brady's voice, now as a local, as a New Englander, aren't you pulled in? Aren't you more invested based on his voice and the records at stake and what could happen to the Chiefs dynasty if they win or lose?
The relationship with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is different than any relationship I've had in my lifetime as a sports fan. Because of whatever you think of their improprieties, you were forced as a Patriots fan to decide to defend the honor of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at different points for differing crimes.
Right.
And all the while, the national media was telling you that you sucked, you weren't that good anymore, what are you, you're going to fall off a cliff, da-da-da-da-da. So when someone is coming for Brady or coming for Bill, as Andy Reid and Mahomes are, there is a guttural defense of them in attacking whoever's playing them and hoping attacking the Chiefs and supporting whatever team they're playing. So everybody in our listening audience is going to tune in tomorrow night, and they're going to say, I pray to God those a-hole Eagles beat the Chiefs. That's what everybody's doing.
Right.
And it's what the Chiefs did.
Well, not Johnny Cakes.
Right.
Don't worry about Luka.
But, you know, America was rooting for the Rams. America was rooting for the Falcons. And you know what the best part about that Falcons Super Bowl was? The halftime, breathless patting themselves on the back, where you had Kellerman tweet out Cliff again at halftime, which is just, talk about owning yourself.
But speaking of that Rams Super Bowl, that is clearly the best. I shouldn't say clearly, because you beat the Legion of Boom. But would you say that's, those two teams are the two best Brady and the Pats beat in the dynastic stretch?
Which ones?
Rams, 2001.
Yep.
And Seattle, 2014. In terms of just like status, all-time status teams.
But if you look
big at big-time wins, two much bigger wins than any of these that the Chiefs have in their run.
Okay, the Patriots beat the, at the time, 16-1 Pittsburgh Steelers on the road in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, pretty, I'm just talking about the Super Bowl in particular, but sure.
Well, I mean, the, what was the, yeah, I guess the 18 Rams were really, that was the chaos, was that they shouldn't
Sean
have been
McVay,
there.
Because he had the down his leg.
And you had the Peyton missed PI call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, I mean, the.
But those are two significant, those are two of the all-time Super Bowl wins ever.
Oh.
The Chiefs, I don't know. They've beaten, if they win this one, they've beaten the Niners twice and the Eagles twice. Kind of middling quarterbacks, Garoppolo, Purdy.
Eric Mangini, of all people, had a great line this week, and that was Patrick Mahomes is Josh Allen to Tom Brady. And that's just something he'll have to live with, which is why that's the game he said this week he most wished he had back. Because when they were in the same league, each in the playoffs, Mahomes was unable to get past Tom Brady. And that AFC title game in 2018 is a top five Patriots game of all time. What that meant, the brilliance of Belichick in the first half getting the shutout, and then the remarkable offensive, you know, juggernaut. You had Bill chucking the tablet. You know, it was an unbelievable, and it was like 10 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we all know what happened that morning. We don't have to get down that road. But
yeah.
That was a unbelievable
No doubt
Unbelievable
about it.
Game.
Now, what happens if the Chiefs win? What happens if they lose? Perspective, the whole dynasty perception Monday morning. You're leaning back on the Greg Hill Show. Snow on the ground.
Yep.
How many inches? 5.5? What was the official prediction?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
5'3", I think.
5'3", 5'2", something like that at Brady International.
Right.
So let's say the Chiefs lose. Let's start there. Mahomes now 3-2 in Super Bowls.
If the Chiefs lose, it is dunk on Mahomes' season Monday, where then, so if the Chiefs lose, we then look back at the regular seasons the last 2 years and wonder, is he pre-30 already losing a step?
That's what I'm saying. I think the Chiefs have a feeling, especially if they lose this game, that they're fading. I'm not saying that he falls off the cliff.
Kelsey walk around town, Chris Jones think they're fading?
Yeah, but Kelsey's close to retiring. Don't you think he could do something stupid and retire after the game or propose or whatever?
Certainly, he is well within his ability to do something stupid. I could definitely say that.
I mean, Reed said he's coming back, right? So he's sticking around.
I thought Belichick was going to coach the Chiefs.
Is Spagnuolo going to get plucked out of there by anybody or no? All the coaches are spoken for. He'll stay.
Brady spoke about this yesterday on The Herd, and one of the coolest, classiest moments you'll ever see was, and Spagnuolo's from Mass, after that 31-9 win in Super Bowl 55 with the Bucks, Spagnuolo, who had crushed Brady in the 2007 Super Bowl 42, runs right up to Brady right as the game ends and says, you know, you got me today, like total class. He's not going anywhere. I mean, I know Chris Jones theorized that, you know, that the Chiefs will keep going to the Super Bowl as long as teams are dumb enough not to hire Spagnuolo.
Okay, you're right. So that's dramatic. They'll be in the mix. Nobody will be saying they're off the cliff and they've died. But to your point, you'll look back at the last, maybe you'll say they only got there because of the refs' help. This was kind of a fraud season for them.
But Ken, we've lived it. I was alive when the Patriots lost consecutive Super Bowls to the Giants and went to 3-2 in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that was crushing. That was Giselle. Tom can't catch and throw the ball at the same time.
Right.
There was the existential crisis about what is this team doing. They didn't even know they had a murderer on their team. And what, you know, was what came after that was the 2012 loss at home to the Ravens in the AFC title game, the 2013
loss. You think
Taylor
Swift and Blake Lively go at it, like, after the game? Just
I have
Giselle.
Baldoni scoring a touchdown. but that era, I know that the Patriots and the Chiefs have been somewhat protected, or what's it when you're not impacted by it? There's a word I
sheltered.
Can't,
I don't know.
The Patriots have been unaffected. The Patriots and the Chiefs have been unaffected by the Super Bowl losing jinx, but it's real. It's existed forever for a reason. That the team that gets there and loses, like, you know, they haven't. It's very rare to get back. I mean, the Chiefs in 2020 lost to the Bucks in the Super Bowl. The next year, they lost to the Bengals in the AFC title game, didn't get back. Mm-hmm. You look at the team, you know, the Bengals lost the Super Bowl to the Rams, didn't get back. I mean, it's if you go back through the years.
But your first word, they're getting dunked on. People are taking glee in the Chiefs' loss, in their stumble.
Oh.
So that caller, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, there is a lot at stake. You're comparing this to the 07 Pats loss. If the Chiefs lose, you and Bill think this is like 07 level. I can't go that far because, again, I don't, you know, wouldn't be that big of a shock to see the Eagles win based on what people are saying about the game. But it is, in terms of the dynasty, 3-2. He's not even Montana if he loses this game.
No, he's barely Idaho.
He's barely Idaho.
I mean, the reason why those games with the Patriots were just so great and the reason everybody was so invested is that you didn't know when it was going to end, so you gave it everything you had as a fan, as a viewer, as a commentator, everything. And watching in real time, living that history, seeing the Tyree catch and throwing your remote through your window and getting way too drunk and not talking to people, to the unbelievable other side of that, which is great. They're 1-2, right? In the history of the Super Bowl, you were incredibly damaged by one and you were delirious after the other. This game will echo into eternity. What happens? How Mahomes plays? And believe me, the NFL wants Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes is peerless.
Yeah, but he's already there, though. Oh, you're saying they want to prop him up further? They want to keep him peerless? Because I think they already got him
falls
to the game.
If he falls to 3-2,
yeah,
and then we're looking at the amount of fortuitous bounces the Chiefs got. Remove the refs. The missed field goal by the blocked field goal against the Broncos. There was a Raiders game that was really weird. There were several games that the Chiefs played this year that they won, that things happened in a very Patriot-esque way, where I remember the first year the Patriots went to the Super Bowl in 01, they were in this windstorm in Buffalo, and I think it was Troy Brown or David Patton got like knocked out and fumbled, but the football was touching his foot while his helmet was on the out-of-bound line, and they kept the ball. Or you look at the Patriots and the Chargers with those picks Brady's threw in the 06 season that they got back. Like, there just were games where they just benefited from dumb plays.
530 Texter, the national media has beat me down with Chiefs adoration to the point I don't care. I'd love to see the Eagles beat them to a pulp, but the narrative has already been written. I guess there is sort of that. Like, people just like, it's going to happen. I don't even want to watch. The three-peat is done. Just let it happen and ignore. Maybe some local fans are ignoring the game.
Reason I give the Eagles a good chance is that they are not in any way lacking in confidence. Like, that
has... No, but it's Sirianni. It's so weird.
I know. It is dumb. But
he's been to the playoffs all 4 years of his... Do we have to start giving him respect?
No. That roster is awesome. Do you want to get Missoula?
He didn't. We should do Missoula. Well, I want to do that, and I also want to... The one football local topic of the week I think that is interesting for the current team is the Myles Garrett thing.
Oh, by the way, the word is insulated.
Insulated. Well, they have been insulated.
The Patriots and Chiefs have been insulated from the Super Bowl jinx.
Okay, Missoula and Miles, 617-779-7937. Thoughts on those? And I did like one of your leads this week. I want you to revisit that in terms of something you said on the Greg Hill Show, the Curtis birthday edition of Ken and Curtis here on EEI.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I would entertain the notion of sending the fourth overall pick for Myles Garrett. Might be a year early to do that. Can it drastically change your defense? I think it could. And if the offense is going to improve because you have a second-year quarterback, in May, then, yeah, are you going to be able to load up a little bit at wide receiver? Could you be a team that starts to sniff the level of improvement to 8, 9, or 10 wins this year? Maybe, but not without a Myles Garrett.
Tommy Curran this week. Not a whole lot of Pats talk in terms of draft and free agency. Obviously, you know, the big game tomorrow and all that will take precedent. But I did think that was interesting. The Garrett and the Cooper Kupp trade promise. And in terms of Cooper Kupp, he's probably, what, a fourth-round pick, and it makes a lot more sense if you can pull it off. But Curran saying he would give up the fourth overall pick for Myles Garrett, 29 years of age. Would you do that?
Not in a million years. Wiggy, I mean, to give Wiggy credit, he probably said it first. Shime and I were gobsmacked by that take. But, you know, as with most things, Wiggy ends up, you know, closer to right than wrong. But I just...
Would Vrabel do it? Would the Patriots do it? Is it smart? Is it like...
I'm telling you this right now. If they gave up their fourth pick for Myles Garrett, there would be, like, mass boycotts.
I don't think so, though.
Myles Garrett...
He's a name, and it's a signal you're trying to win. It's a little bit like the Crochet trade, which you know I love.
Wait.
You're going after a name. At least you're bringing in somebody who's established to help get you to the next level.
I really believe that the fourth pick in the draft, if you're trading it for a commodity, it is not a guy that's... How old is Myles Garrett?
29.
Yeah, so 30. No, thank you. I mean, if they can get him for a... If they use, like, a year from now, second-round pick, and they bring him in, that's fine with me.
I think they're even suggesting it might be two first-rounders, if, like, there's a bidding war for them. I mean, it seems high to me based on that, but he is...
Wiggy or the deal?
I loved your roll of papers line yesterday. We got totally, lost in the show.
Totally ignored.
But 102 sacks.
Good one.
He has 102 sacks.
Do you think Greg knew what he was saying when I said I don't like breakfast and he asked if I was a serial killer? Or do you think that was just a lucky coincidence?
Oh, you know.
Okay, good.
Greg always knows.
I give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the hell do I know? But if you're giving her four, like, that sounds like a first world problem, and the Patriots are not in the first world.
Okay, so one thing I like about Curtis is you've got a good big picture view of things.
Yeah.
We have problems here at the radio station, whatever. I come to you for advice. You give me a good, solid answer. And you're very valuable in terms of many things you do, but that's one of them. You have a good sense of right and wrong.
Thank you.
But let's say you're with Elliot Wolf. You're in the front office. You don't know the nuts and bolts of everything. But Elliot comes to you or somebody else, one of his colleagues, and says, Curtis, this draft stinks.
Yep.
There's nobody good here. This is a down year for the draft. We're not going to get a generational talent. Why don't we trade this pick, which is going to go to a player who's a middling guy? Why don't we get somebody who we know is great, even if he's 30, and it brings the whole status of the team up around our second-year quarterback who we have to start making hay with? Important year. We did nothing last year. This year, we got to make advancements. Kraft wants to win.
So if I were working with him, I would say, we need to get our machine rolling. Get Field Yates. Get Mike Reese. Get Tom Curran. Get, you know, Adam Schefter talking about these quarterbacks screaming up the draft board. Between now and draft, if they did it any other time before, but like an hour before they were picking, or even when they were on the clock, it would be a massive mistake.
So you want Mike Reese stand-ups talking about Jackson Dart outside of the combine?
Well, the fact is, Ken, that there is so much jockeying with news, and I don't begrudge the reporters. They're hearing things from teams. Their job is to report it. You know, I mean, at some points, I would like your best friend to maybe, you know, use his own thoughts, but that's okay. The reality is that the Patriots today have a crap load of holes to fill. And if you are able to.
But is one of those holes pass rusher?
So here's what you do. Well, I don't know what they think of Keon White. I don't know what they think of Barmore. I don't know. Honestly.
I feel confident saying Keon White is not Myles Garrett.
Of course. But is Myles Garrett the fourth pick in the draft good?
In a bad year for the draft when there are no quarterbacks that anybody wants?
So if you want to play this game and you use the fourth to trade back to 22 and then you get a team's first next year, then I would trade next year's first for Myles Garrett. Or I'd trade the 22nd pick for Myles Garrett if that's really what you wanted. But what this team needs just desperately is an offensive line, 2 to 3 talented receivers.
That's McDaniel's problem. Vrabel didn't care about that.
Okay.
He wants his defense good.
Well, I will say, if they use the fourth pick for Myles Garrett, we know damn well who's running the organization.
Yep. Yes, we do.
I guess in that way, it wouldn't be the worst thing that you got Robin Glazer gone and, you know, replaced with a guy that actually knows what he's doing. I just can't envision Vrabel. I know what they would sell it as. It would be the modern-day Seymour. A known Seymour. Here we got the first thing Belichick didn't know one was use the sixth pick, thanks to Wiggy, on Richard Seymour. He wanted to take the other guy.
They thought Seymour stunk, but they went to Wiggy. Wiggy said, this guy's good.
Bill never heard of him. and so from my perspective, if I was advising Elliot Wolf, I would say this is a deal that will get you fired.
Okay, but why is Curran all about it, though? He is somewhat briefed. When he says something, my ears perk up all the time. That it's some kind of somebody with the Patriots has said, we might do this. We're thinking about it.
I think Tom Curran is a brilliant media guy.
He just drumming up interest?
Why not? I mean, I'm sure that obviously Mike Vrabel was in Cleveland last year. Mm-hmm. He knows Myles Garrett. He values defensive linemen. He understands the importance of defense. Check, check, check. The fourth pick in the draft for Myles Garrett is an obscene overpay.
I mean, it seems like it. I'm just saying that's what the prices are. 207 texter, Miles wouldn't want to come to New England. Forget about it. I guess there's that part of it. Can he veto that trade? Does he have a right to say where he will or won't go? I'm sure there'll be other teams vying for him. I'm sure there will be teams closer to success that want him. But
I would ask why Myles Garrett's been on relatively talented Cleveland Browns teams his whole career and only won one playoff game.
Well, it's just like Joe Thomas. I mean, there have been great players there that get lost in the Browns. It's just the Browns. You just can't win there.
I mean, they did win a playoff game with Baker Mayfield.
It's true. Baker's a generational talent.
Right.
All right, 617-779-7937. Would you trade the fourth pick for Myles Garrett? I wanted to revisit your Super Bowl lead this week. I just thought it was a feel-good.
Yeah.
Set up for the weekend. Would you care to reiterate just your thoughts on 59 tomorrow?
So when you and I grew up, we had the benefit of no internet. We had no social media. We got internet, you know, when I was, you know, in middle school, high school.
AOL Online.
Right. And we had shared experiences, whether it was, you know, watching one of three nightly news shows, or we would enjoy several events like Larry Knight at the Garden. There were things that you just watched because you could only watch it once. And we would, as a nation and as a community, get together and share experiences. Not see something and then go to the ideological network that reinforces what we want to hear and then get further and further apart. And what the Super Bowl represents still is a relatively apolitical event where everybody, 3:30 in California, 6:30 in Boston, you know, 12:30 in Hawaii, you will be sitting in front of your TV with friends and family watching a game and hoping your team wins, but hoping for something entertaining to occur.
Not Johnny Cakes and Sog is not watching, right. But
it is the last vestige of a time where we did things together and didn't hate everyone more after. And it's literally the last thing. Nobody watches the Oscars anymore. Nobody watches
Grammys.
These awards.
You watch the Grammys.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Chappelle Roan. but it's a great thing. Everybody today is going to be lining up to get wings and get chips and dip and pizza. And they're going to be... And people said, well, we have Thanksgiving. I hate to break it to you. There's no house this weekend that will have everyone from Thanksgiving on the couch for the Super Bowl.
Because the Thanksgiving problem, you got to talk to everybody. That's the feature is the people. Here, and it's the game, and you don't have to talk to anybody, really.
And with all due respect to family, you don't pick them. Right, and so with the Super Bowl, you get to pick them. And the game's almost a pick 'em.
And Thanksgiving ends up political at some point.
Oh, of course. You're either, you know, waiting for someone to leave to rip them or, you know.
Now, Trump is going, right, this weekend, first sitting president to go. So that's going to be political. There'll be a little bit of that.
Right. I mean, his they have the pregame you know, interview with Brett Baer. But it's going to be.
I just like that. It was a very wholesome take from you. I like that.
Is there anything else we do together?
Nope. Nothing else. The ratings continue to. Were they down a little bit from, so the, you know, they've hovered.
Well, the ticket demand is down. I do think part
of the prices were up. I think it's $3,200 to get in. It's one of the highest priced Super Bowls ever.
I think I saw the opposite, but let me see.
$6,000, I believe, is the average ticket price to get in. So I think it's actually people are spending money. You get Eagles fans involved. They're going to spend.
Good news for Fox is that the Northeast, I think New York's getting 5 inches. We're getting 6 to 10 inches.
Oh, yeah.
So people like
you're in.
So one of the great experiences, junior year, Boston College, 2004. Obviously, the Red Sox, Yankees, greatest ever at that time.
Yep.
And then the weekend of the AFC title game at Heinz Field, you were there, coldest night of your life.
It was.
The Patriots left early Friday night because the storm was coming. We got like 3 feet of snow. It was the craziest. 2015 winter was obscene. And we somehow got our car out, got to the liquor store, got back, parked, right as Bettis fumbled on 4th and 1. Mm. Next play, the Brady unbelievable pass to Deion Branch.
But now can Drizzly get through tomorrow?
I don't know. But here's the real thing. Mm. That game did a massive number because everybody was stuck at home.
Yeah. No, this will be a good rating number.
Yeah.
The other part of it is you have that Cuban line that whatever, pigs get slaughtered. The NFL is in danger of
getting getting political, like Fidel.
Well, there was some talk this week about the added 18th game, which seems like it's going to happen.
And it's absolutely going to happen.
So I don't know when or how soon, and you guys were talking about the London Super Bowl.
What is more powerful, the Tufts RA Union or the NFLPA?
what's happening with the Tufts RA?
I remember we talked about it weekly, but it's absurd that these guys are so, like, how do you give, Goodell has the power. They gave it to him. He can do it at any time.
Well, right, but my point is, this may not last forever. There is probably a breaking point where even the Super Bowl starts to trail off.
Right.
And it's not the last thing where unites everybody. But for now, we're still there. And for now, you got Ken and Curtis on your Saturdays.
That's right.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.